Earth, Wind, and Fire is America's seventh top-selling musical group of all time. Born in Chicago, Illinois in 1969, they're still going strong in their fifth decade, making music that crosses years and decades. Inducted into both the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Vocal Group Hall of Fame, Earth, Wind, and Fire has earned 8 Grammy Awards and 4 American Music Awards, alongside numerous other accolades, including the prestigious Soul Train Legend Award. Final fact, Earth, Wind, and Fire has sold more than 90 million albums worldwide and is one of the world's top touring bands. That tour will bring them to Tanglewood on Saturday night at 7 o'clock, June 18th. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Verdine White to the roundtable this morning. Verdine, thank you very much for being back on the program. Good to have you.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Very nice to have you back. And coming back to Tanglewood, I assume that this you still enjoy going out and making the music.
Oh, most definitely. You know, it's always a great fun to play music, and of course, I love Tanglewood. Tanglewood's a beautiful place to play, great place to play. You know,
when it comes to the tour, do you specify? Okay, we're going to be going on this particular tour, or are you guys just always on tour at this point?
You know, we specify it because you know we're not all. You know, we're not out like 12 months a year. We were a few years ago, but now we've broken it down to like about 8-7 months out of the year now, you know.
It makes it, I assume, a little more, you can deal with that a little bit better.
Well, yeah, you can deal with it better, and also too, we have so many other things to do that we have to fit in, you know, you can get it all done in about 6 months, you know what I mean?
So give us a sense of how you go on with a group that started so long ago and how it ultimately progresses. I mean, obviously, you want to go out, you want to play hits, but then there's also a progression to move the group along as well.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, you have to do two things, you know, if you can accomplish them. You know, hopefully you play the popular songs that people that you've made popular with people calling, that's been popular. Then, and as a musical entity, hopefully you progress where you're still solid. You know what I mean? As an artist, you know what I mean? That the work you do is still solid, you know?
And when it comes to that solid work, is that creation of new songs as well, or looking at that catalog and exploring it as much as possible?
Yeah, a little bit of both, you know, exploring the catalog, working on new material, seeing how the new material fits in, how is it working with the band, how does it still sound great, is it still in there, in the pocket, in the groove, as we say, you know, is it still musically viable, and then musically, is it still working, you know.
You came into the group at what point?
1970.
So the very beginning.
In the very beginning. I was 18 years old and I came out to Los Angeles. And Maurice, my brother, sent for me to come here to California, and I asked him, you know, I've always asked him a lot of times what made him bring me out because I was so inexperienced. But he said I had the enthusiasm. He said what I lacked in experience, I made up for enthusiasm. And then I worked hard, too. I worked hard. And but for me, it's not work. It was just a lot of fun, and, you know, and a great growth period. And obviously, I did pick the right profession and the right city to come to in the right time. Yeah.
How much of it was a story of that city, of being in Chicago?
Well, Chicago had a great foundation. You know, Chicago was a tremendous foundation of all the different genres of music, of blues and jazz and rock and pop and all that kind of stuff. You know, it was a really great, great place to come from to get your roots. But then California at that time, if you go back to the 70s, you know, it was a very explosive time in the country. You know, Woodstock, a lot of hippies. There was a lot going on. Yeah. In the United States. So it was in terms of a perfect time of coming out to a musical revolution. I came out at that particularly right time, you know.
What is it like to work so closely for so long with your brother, of that being a family dynamic, but also a group dynamic?
It was great because don't forget now he had a tremendous amount of experience. He had been successful before Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Right.
You know what I mean? He had been there, you know, he was already there, you know what I mean? So it was actually a learning and teaching thing as well, you know what I mean? So it was great.
Bassist, of course, for Earth, Wind, and Fire, and very much known for your energy and performance. Of watching you on stage is a
right.
show in and of itself.
And right.
How do you have to prepare for that, or is it just very natural once you hit the stage?
It was always a natural thing, although I do go to the gym, and I'm on my way to the gym now. So to give myself a little extra edge, you know what I'm saying, you know?
So, even get a little bit more of a workout before
exactly,
the workout.
Exactly. That's my cardio, you know.
The group has won 6 Grammy Awards and, of course, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you and to the group to have that kind of heritage?
Well, you know, it's those particular awards are from your peers, and it's an honor, and the part of your career. We've been, you know, in a nutshell, we've been very fortunate. It's going to be 7 this year because we just got inducted into the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award this year. And so it was great. And, of course, before Maurice passed, he knew about it and was very happy about all the accomplishments, you know. I think sometimes, you know, people think that, you know, what we do is very easy. You come out, you start a group, you know what I mean? You know, you become successful, you get Grammys, American Music Awards, you go home, and everything is hunky-dory, you know. But really, you know, you learn that you're very fortunate, and it's not always a usual situation that you have the opportunity to do the great work that we've had. So.
We talk a lot with musicians about how they've seen the music industry change, and certainly you have,
right.
you've been around in this industry for a very, very long time. So
right, right.
when you see all of these changes, I mean, this is really touring and going out. That's where the money is now, isn't it?
Right. Well, it's one income stream. I'm sure you're actually talking about streaming and things like that, obviously. I think that's what you're talking about.
Well, I'm talking about streaming and how that has changed and the record industry has changed. And for many artists, they feel that, well, they can go and they can make the records, but what used to be sort of the income stream that was having a hit song from several years ago has now mm-hmm. been surpassed by actually going out and making the music live.
Yeah, but records weren't always the only income stream, you know, and that's what people don't know. People were touring then. I just think there's been a lot of focus on the record business. The record business is the old record business doesn't really exist the old way. It's a different way of doing records. And actually, to be honest, more people are consuming music than they ever have in the history of music. More people know about music than they ever have in the history of just music. You know, whereas prior to that, it was more you might know about R&B, but you might not know about pop. You might know about pop, but you know about R&B because everything was in so much categories, right. You know? So younger people know about older music, older generations know about younger music. So in that way with the industry, I think the industry, you know, every day is redefining itself in different models. So the model has changed and evolved into, you know, something else, you know.
Realizing that you started playing music and that your father was a musician, that
and a doctor, who
also played the saxophone. You grew up listening to great music. At what point did you know you wanted to play the bass?
When I was about 10 or 11, stuff like that. Yeah.
And you knew that would be your instrument.
Yeah, I just loved it. I didn't think of it that technically. That would be my. I just loved it. You know, I just really loved it. You know.
When it comes to Earth, Wind, and Fire and the sound, how do you describe that? What do you think it is about your group and about the music that you make and describing that sound?
I just think it's it's the whole thing. It's the sound of the rhythm section, the horns, the vocals. You know, it's a little bit of everything, you know.
Oh, the horns.
Right.
That's such a great sound, isn't it?
Right, man, right.
Well, Earth, Wind, and Fire will be at Tanglewood at the Koussevitzky Music Shed on Saturday night at 7 o'clock, June 18th. And you can find out more by going to tanglewood.org, tanglewood.org. For Dean White, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks so much for a great interview. Great questions, by the way. Really great.
Thank you very much. Look forward to having you in town. Earth, Wind, and Fire, June 18th, Saturday night at 7 o'clock at Tanglewood. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.